It's not necessarily the big events that determine the texture of our lives. Little details, small pleasures, everyday objects can have a disproportionate power over us. As T.S. Eliot once wrote, "I have measured out my life with coffee spoons." But, as the poet Alanis Morissette remarked, what if you had 10,000 spoons when all you needed was a knife? And what, and this is where this introduction is about to become relevant to the thing you're about to hear, what if you needed a fork?
The tea rooms had no cutlery at all. We were stirring tea with a timber paddle stirrer, and the thinking behind that was because the cutlery kept disappearing. And I said to the team, look, you come to a tea room, you expect to find...
forks.
Dr. Mark Machisi, I'm the Chief Medical Officer for the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital here in Queensland in Australia.
Now, Mark's the boss, right? So this is really annoying because he's the one who has to keep buying new forks. But it's also annoying for another reason.
You had to eat your pasta with a spoon sometimes, and that can be very challenging.
Mm.
And, you know, if you didn't have a fork or you didn't have a spoon, then you're really trying to juggle it with knives, potentially as a pair of chopsticks to try and eat as well. So it is a challenge.
It's enough to make you want to yell, "Fork!" Every day in lunchrooms across Australia, hungry staff members open empty cutlery drawers. No one knows for sure where all the forks are going, but I do know no one should be forced to eat salad with a spoon unless it's a chopped salad or a potato salad. You know what I mean? The difference, though, when Dr. Mark had this problem was he worked in a hospital and ran a highly trained scientific research team that
generally looks after, you know, trauma, critical illness, pharmacokinetics in the ICU.
Dr. Mark said to his team, hey, you guys are smart and the fork thing's killing me. Let's use some of those research skills to figure out what's going on. And at first, the team were like, no, we're not doing that. But then a few years passed and they still had the fork problem. So they said, okay, stuff it. Let's do it. This is one, two, three, four, five prong. You got a five prong fork here.
No, that's six prongs, isn't it? No, five, sorry. I should use it. It's actually rather nice, isn't it?
Dr. Meredith Bergman is a former politician and academic and now an author.
The forks.
Okay, how many you got in here?
Wow, exactly 15.
Oh, yeah. In fact, in here, even more.
Look at this.
And here's one from a...
That's bamboo or something.
Bamboo
is that
or something,
wood?
Yeah.
When it comes to commentators who can speak about forks, there aren't many. And I happened to interview Meredith recently for another story about how she'd helped hide a prisoner who had escaped from jail. I think she's cool, and she was available. And frankly, it's rare for documentary makers to qualify the credibility of their experts beyond just saying their title, so I'm not sure what you're worried about. But the truth is, in some ways, it could be seen as a stretch to call Dr. Meredith Bergman an expert in forks. In other ways, though, ways that I'm choosing to look at it, it's not.
How long have you been using forks for, specifically?
Probably since I was about three, but I think I was always pretty good at eating.
Well, why do you say that?
Oh, because I really enjoy eating, so...
You've been using forks for 20-plus years.
No.
that's fair to say.
At least. But, no, I reckon I've been using forks for 60 years. Oh, 70 years.
Yes. I didn't want to give away anything about your age or pride. That's why I said 20 plus.
That's fine, yeah.
I was keen to find out Meredith's take on the crisis facing lunchrooms across the country.
Absolutely unaware of this as an issue, and I feel ashamed that I wasn't more aware. The idea that there are poor people in their tea rooms desperate for a fork of some sort, I just hadn't realised.
How many forks would go missing a day? Let's put a figure. Let's just come up with a figure. Think of a figure. I'm going to think of one too. We'll see how you know, hold on. Just think. 3, 2, 1. 40,000.
Oh, you see, I've just done 5,000. Yes.
You would say 5,000?
So the team then said to me, well, we need a reasonable time period. We'll need ethics approval because if you do any research in a hospital, you've got to get an ethical clearance. And the challenge that we had was if we're going to covertly monitor people and what happened with forks and teaspoons, we really needed to make sure that they didn't know what was going on and they didn't know that we were counting the forks and the teaspoons behind the scenes.
The blind study was approved. The ethics advisor commented that cutlery, and in particular fork disappearance within institutions, remains one of the central conundrums of our time. They weren't wrong. One expert recently told me up to 5,000 forks a day could be going missing across Australia. So the research team set up an experiment that involved tracking the cutlery with nail polish.
And we did some tests beforehand to make sure that the nail polish stayed on after dishwashing.
Right, I noticed that you used all-in-one Finish Powerball dishwasher tablets, and even that wasn't strong enough to remove the nail polish.
And in fact, I don't think you put stuff with nail polish in the dishwashers to remove the nail polish itself.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I think employers should supply cutlery, yes, if that's where people are expected to eat.
Should it be a right?
What do we want? Forks. When do we want them now? Look, I think there are probably more important rights to be fighting about.
In their report titled What the Forks? A Longitudinal Quality Improvement Study Tracking Cutlery Numbers in a Public Teaching and Research Hospital Staff Tea Room, no one saw the result coming.
You started with 21 unmarked forks and you ended the period with 23 unmarked forks?
You're absolutely right. When you look at that, you say, well, actually, we accumulated forks along the way.
They labelled this phenomenon fork resurrection.
Indeed, the forks did disappear, but then they seemed to come back.
So the big question is, where are they going? What's going on here?
Yeah, and look, the solution to this would be a higher powered study with location-grade Wi-Fi around the hospital. It's not going to be cheap to run. In fact, the RFID equipment probably costs more than a year or two supply worth of forks. So we haven't really contemplated going down the line of conducting a
the
research.
The fact that you know that, I think, already tells me that you did go down the path already.
Well, we thought about it.
Well, why do they disappear? I would immediately see it as a gender issue. I just think it's an inadvertent thing that these four, and I think it's to do with them not wanting to wash up. That's what it's about, I think. I reckon it's entitled sons who have gone in there and just taken the fork and gone off and not even remembered to bring it back.
Men. White men specifically or just men?
Oh, I reckon probably all men.
Younger men or older men?
I would like to think that younger men were better. I'm not sure, though.
Do you think that I would be in the demographic of somebody who would take a fork and not bring it back?
Yes. From your demographic, probably, yes. But now that I know you're such a interesting and community-minded person, I think probably you might remember to bring your fork back.
Meredith was wrong. I was the exact person who took forks home in my Tupperware container because I was too lazy or too busy or some other reason. They'd end up in circulation at home until my wife would get upset because our drawer was overflowing with so many mismatching forks. Periodically, I'd sneak a batch back to work and the vicious cycle would begin again. At the start of this year, after 12 years, I left that particular job and I moved to the commercial sector, and I was shocked to see they didn't have a fork problem there. They had an abundance of utensils. My theory is because they pay someone to unpack the dishwasher. Anyway, 6 months had passed, and I was curious to see what was going on in the drawers of my old workplace. So I rang my friend and former colleague, Timothy. He sits near the kitchen.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm here on the phone in good old level four.
Okay.
Where the desks are unclean and the forks are minimal. What can I do for you?
I want you to walk to the kitchen right
oh,
now.
Oh, God. Yep. I'm here.
Can you open the drawer for me?
Oh, shit.
What do you see?
I see a serious quantity of forks.
Like, really?
Serious.
How many?
Yes,
how
I
many?
Do.
How many?
Let's say there's a prediction. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
What?
Like 13 to 14.
Wow.
We have forks, Geraldine. Everything's going to be okay.
I realise now my old work didn't have a fork problem. It had a me problem. An entitled son who took forks and then brought them back. Maybe resurrecting forks is some sort of god complex, I'm not sure. All I know is I hope Dr. Meredith Bergman and I can stay friends.
You can sort of solve a fork problem. I actually carry something a bit akin to a fork in my handbag.
Can we have a look at it? What is it?
Yes. Yeah. It's that. If they didn't have a fork in my tea room, I would just carry a plastic fork with me.
What would you call that? What is that?
It's an avocado scoop, I think. But I didn't buy it. I picked it up from somewhere.
Who Gives a Fork was made for us by the documentary maker Mike Williams. This is the exact amount of effort that I want poured in to small-scale mysteries. My dream for humanity would be academic levels of rigour and investigation into very, very small questions, conundrums, and preoccupations.